Of your Bibles, we turn to Hebrews chapter 13. This is a passage that's well known to many of you, and many of the passages we are going to allude to. But sometimes we need to step away from the scriptures and consider things in their proper context to see, are we really getting the message? And maybe there's something there right in front of us that we read over many times. I know I had a lot of fun preparing this passage, the preparation on doing this passage. And that may sound odd to you, but it's because as you start to pull things together and it enlivens my face, it means as much to me probably because I grow through that experience. And even though I've had a chance to teach and preach through the book of Hebrews on numerous occasions, I never tire of it. The 13th chapter, though, picks up in something that's so relevant to you and me right now, something you are experiencing. I can assure you what we're going to talk to tonight, you are experiencing, and I have experienced, and I am experiencing it right now. Let me ask you a couple of questions before we start, and this will kind of set things in, hopefully, their proper perspective. Have you ever been forsaken by anyone? A mother? A father? A grandparent? A child? A pastor? An elder? Deacon? Grandchildren? Aunts, uncles, cousins, neighbors? A government? A business? Have you ever been forsaken? Of course, everybody has at one point in their life. Some have been traumatized. Some have had their lives changed by being forsaken. Some have become different people, and not always for the good. Some have been scarred deeply emotionally, and they've learned that who is it I can trust? Who is it I can rely on? And some have become quite cynical and reached the stage where they go, no one, nothing. I'll take care of myself. Even in Christian churches, many times you'll hear messages that seem to imply that sometimes we're on our own. You'll hear Christians talk about experiences that they'll ultimately say God was in control, but who's in charge of the details? Who's really aware of what's going on in my life? Does he care? Do the little things matter? Or is it just the big things? What is God doing and what is God involved with in my life? In the 13th chapter of Hebrews, the writer, and there's debate on who that is, and we won't get into it. I've always told people I'm sure it's not Paul, even though it's very Pauline in the theology. The second chapter seems to say that only that he was not one of those present with the apostles when it happened. However, I have to tell you, if there's one chapter in this book which makes me doubt my position and think it's Pauline in its origin, this is the chapter. This chapter starts off, and then we're going to find some nuggets in here that kind of bring this together. Because of the Old Testament reference, and it seems like there's a quick flashback to the Old Testament, that if we pay attention, we can see the cue card and what he's trying to tell us. Because he starts off and he says, let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers. For by doing so, some of you have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow. Consider the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruits of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey those who rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. As those who must give an account, let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. But especially I urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And we would stop there. Let's pray. Our dear Lord and Savior, we just pray, Father, that each one of us would have our hearts and our minds illuminated by your Spirit as we read your word. And that sword of the Spirit would pierce deep and show us our continuing struggles with the sin in our lives and the shortcomings we each know we face and the shortcomings we each experience. But Father, to remember that you are faithful, you never forsake us, you never leave us. We have nothing to fear from men, for God himself sees us through this dark valley. Be with us now in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's a very famous passage in here that is going to help us through this. First off, if you would, if you turn your Bibles over to Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. This is going to be repeated later on in this passage in verse 5, too. But in Joshua 1, 5, it says, there shall not any man be able to stand before you, before thee, all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, I will be with thee, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And that same language is used in another well-known passage to many of you, and it's in Psalm 37:25, I have been young and am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And the word forsaken is the same one used in this passage in Joshua. You say, well, what does that have to do with this passage? Well, it's quoted in here in the middle of this text, and it's going to kind of bridge this passage together and show us something about ourselves and about the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in the first passage, he starts off like this. And mind you, if you will, the actual word here in the Hebrew, this azab, it's a root word, and it means to loosen. It means to relinquish or to permit, to commit, to fail, to forsake, to help, to leave behind, to refuse. It does not mean, it is not the strong word, to cast away. It's a lack of attention. It's not being vigilant. And in this passage that's quoted in the book of Hebrews, and in verse 5, so he's actually going to show us how the Lord Jesus Christ is vigilant. And in Hebrews, in this passage, in Hebrews 13:5, where it says that he will never forsake or leave thee, that is in the Greek, it's egetalipo, and it actually means I will never leave behind in some place in a good sense, or leave behind in a bad sense. And it means, or forsake or leave. And again, it seems to imply a negligence or a preoccupation with other things. And he puts this in after he starts to show us how to live a righteous life. And if you will, watch this bridge that he does here. He starts off, let brotherly love continue. Now you say, what is that about? Well, he starts off with brotherly love. Most commentators, Calvin, Matthew Henry, and others have felt that this letter, remember the letter to the Hebrews, is actually a sermon. It was a red sermon. and it was read to the church. Of course, it was written down. And during this sermon, he was talking about some of the persecution, the suffering, how the old things have passed away. This is the better covenant, the new covenant. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all these things. And then he starts off talking about the Hebrews, and he says, let brotherly love continue. And he said, do not forget to entertain strangers, for in doing so, some of you have unwittingly entertained angels. And you're saying, what is that about? Well, at this time, there started to be a persecution, and there was one around the corner that was going to be tremendous. And many Jews, many believing Jews, had fled their homes. They couldn't check in at the Motel 6. They couldn't call the local YMCA or the rescue mission. They didn't have much available to them in resources. And he said, I want you to be aware of your brethren and their situation. Don't forget about them. They're in need. Please. He said, let your brotherly love continue. And again, as it always is in the scripture, love is associated with actions. Meet their needs. And some of you, he said, be cautious, because remember, there have been times where people have actually entertained angels unawares. Now, we know that was true for Lot. We know that was true for Abraham. Those are recorded instances. Maybe there were other cases we don't know about. But that should be our attitude. And more importantly, angels don't have the same magnitude of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ said in Matthew chapter 31 and following, if you gave water to someone that was in need, if you visited them in jail, if you came and afflicted, Matthew 25:31 and following, he said, you have done it unto one of the least of these my disciples. You have done it unto me. And so he starts off in this letter, this closing out of this wonderful doctrinal book. He's given his very practical living. And he said, listen, remember your brethren. Don't forget them. Don't forget the homeless. Don't forget the strangers. Remember the prisoners. There were people in prison for their faith. And he said, remember the afflicted. Remember those who are afflicted, who have persecution, who have trials. Please do not forget them. He then says, he said, they are in one body with you. Now, some have argued that means they are in the flesh with you. They go through the tribulations and trials of the flesh, which is a possible translation. I'm going to side with Calvin and Matthew Henry. They probably know a little bit more than me. And I'm being facetious there. They know a lot more than me. And they agree that this reference is to the body of Christ. They are in the body of Christ. Act like it. And then he says, since you yourselves are in the body also. And he makes another transition, and we're going to go through and bring all these together. He says, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. And he makes an interesting comparison. Marriage is undefiled. Marriage is honorable, the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers. Fornicators are people that have illicit sex outside of marriage, and adulterers are those that break the marriage vow. And he says to say marriage is the solution to the impure thoughts. If you have a pure relationship and you're in a godly relationship, that is a wonderful thing. These other things happen when people have deviated from the truth, but he says honor the marriage. Honor the marriage. Remember, it is where God honors that relationship to a man and a wife. And he's saying this with the other things. You're going, where's he going with this? And he said, let your conduct be without covetousness. Desiring what you don't have. Desiring what other people have. Desiring what has not been given to you by a sovereign God. Let it be without that. Let your lifestyle be without that. So look what he's talked about so far. Entertaining strangers, continuing in brotherly love, remembering the prisoners, honoring marriage, let your conduct be without covetousness. And he said, for with such things as you have, you should be satisfied, because for he himself has said, I will not leave you nor forsake you. Now, where did that fit in? What's he talking about? Remember what the word means. And the word in the Hebrew, and now being repeated here in this, and the thought here is this. I don't forget about details. I'm aware of you. And I never forget. Have you seen the mother in the mall with three children? totally overwhelmed, trying to grab one, grab another one, hold onto a hand. One's going this way, one's going that way. One wants to see this, one wants to run to the fountain, one wants to chase, go into the pet store, one wants to do this. And she's doing all she can do, and maybe dad's looking in the golf shop. Maybe dad's not there, whatever. Here goes a child running down. Look, her intent wasn't to neglect that child, but she did. She has frailty. She has fallings. She didn't reject that child, but she wasn't vigilant. She had limitations. She thinks she cannot do. And the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, I am not like that. I am ever with you, and I never forsake you. And he knows we struggle, and he knows we fail, and it's just like Ray's been preaching at in Romans about us struggling with the flesh and trying to do those things, and we fall short, but we still get up and we struggle. And he's saying, these are not easy things to do, but struggle. Do them. Love the brethren. Take in strangers. Honor your marriage. Be vigilant about it. Don't let little things. Pay attention to the details. Know that things have to be done. I do that for you. Gill, in his commentary on the book of Joshua, in his commentary here, makes a very interesting note. He says the Hebrew word there used in Joshua 1:5 is always used with temporal blessings and physical needs. And yet here in the Lord Jesus Christ is writing in this chapter, and he's saying, don't be covetousness, don't desire what you have, because I'm with you, and I'm ever with you, and I know what you need, I know the details, and I'm here for you. And that's how we're to live. And we fail miserably. But we still are to do it. We're to do our best. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we will never be sinless, we will never be perfect, but he puts the challenge and he sets the bar, he says, do it! Be vigilant! Because if you're striving to do it, and you're trying to resist sin, and you're asking the Lord Jesus Christ for his mercies and grace to do these things, he enables, he helps us, he knows where we fall, he picks us up, but he's saying, look at me. I've never forsaken you. You don't have to be covetous, because I'll give you what you need, because I'm concerned about the details and the minutiae and the things in your life that every day you need, every day you face. And I know, like, if a bird falls, I know the hairs on your head, I know everything. There's a popular misconception amongst evangelicals saying, God save me, and sometimes I don't know. You know, and they pray irreverent prayers, they think of things that they shouldn't say. God, where are you? I don't know where you are. God in heaven, I know that this is a little thing and you don't concern yourself with it. You don't worry about my job, my wife, my marriage. You don't. These are things, I guess, they're on me. And you don't realize he's saying, no, you're calling me less than faithful. I have never forsaken you. And that's the word. I've never forsaken you. And that's what I want you to do to me and my brethren, is never forsake us. Never. Will we completely do it? No. Will we fail? Yes. But he's called. And look what he does when after that he says, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? He will help me. That's Psalm 118. The Lord is my helper, what can I fear? How many of us really put that as part of our ammunition to face life? Ultimately, with your job, you're going to lose jobs. Ultimately, with your health, you're going to lose health. Ultimately, with your family, they're going to forsake you. Ultimately, with your mother and father, they're going to forsake you. Brothers and sisters, people, friends, they will forsake you. He will not, and when you know that the only one that really matters will never forsake me. And even though I'll fall shortly, that's the example that I'll live. I will be diligent. I will be vigilant. I will serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll do it to my brethren. Because as I do it to the least of one of these, his disciples, I do it unto him. And he goes on and he said, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follows. Consider the outcome of their conduct. Remember the ministers of the early church. Those in this second century, those in this century here who are now coming in, many of the ministers have died. Those that have heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, their preachers, their ministers, their teachers are passing on. They're getting old and they're going. And you know what he says to them? What a wonderful. He says, remember them. Remember their lives. Remember what they taught to you. Remember them. Be diligent what's been given you. It's like in chapter 12 where he says, we are surrounded by a great host. a host of witnesses, people we remember that loved the Lord Jesus Christ, people that followed the Lord Jesus Christ. I will remember them. I will remember their faithfulness and their lives and the way they lived. Be diligent. Don't forsake what you've been given. Don't forsake that doctrine. He said, consider the outcome of their conduct. And then he gives us his great encouragement. He said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same Jesus Christ that they could do nothing but live for and serve. The same Jesus Christ that was with our Old Testament saints. The same Jesus Christ that was with these ministers that recently died. And the ones that will be with their present ministers who are transitioning now in leadership. That same Lord Jesus Christ is the very same one who said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And then he says, do not be carried about with various strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who serve the table, the tabernacle, have no right to eat. There are those who were Jewish who were trying to get people to still observe the sacrificial system, who still talked about the tabernacle, who still talked as if they could trust in Jesus Christ. And he said, if they're still worried about sacrifices, if they're still looking to the sacrifices under the system of the law, and they're trying to do those works of the sacrifices, they have no part in our table and our altar. None. Remember those that went before you, the teachers you saw, that surrounding, that cloud of witnesses. Remember what they taught you. Remember what they taught you. You shouldn't be looking at that, talking about food and sacrifices and observing these things. You should know better. Don't forsake it. I won't forsake you. Don't forsake what I've given you. Don't forsake what I've called you to do. Don't do it. He then says, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. And then he says, therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp and bear his reproach. If you look at Leviticus chapter 16, there's called the Day of Atonement. And on the Day of Atonement, the high priest had to get two goats and a bull. Now, the two goats he would bring in, and they would cast lots. One of them, when they cast lots, would be sacrificed. And the other ones, the priest would put his hands on that goat and release it into the wilderness to take the iniquity of the people away. The other one would be slain. He was slain after a bull was slain for the priest, high priest and his family, because of his own sins. He had to have a bull slain. And then the bull and the goat were both slain. The goat for the people, the bull for the priest and his family. In the book of Leviticus chapter 16, you can read this on the Day of the Atonement. And then both the bodies were considered vile. And they were carried out into the wilderness. They weren't offered up and eaten by the priest and to partaken of as most sacrifices were. And that was the way the priest had provided for their families. They were taken out and they were to be burned with their dung in the wilderness and treated like that. And he said, the Lord Jesus Christ came, the willing sacrifice. There was no bull for him necessary. He was perfect. And he came in and shed his blood. And he was rejected and thrown out of the camp. He was treated as vile. He took on a ministry of being treated vile, of being rebuked, of being ostracized, of being rejected by the people at that time, by his own people. And they said, go out of the camp with Jesus and face the reviling. Face the persecution. Face the suffering. Be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Go with him. And he goes, guess what? I'll be with you always. Step out of the camp. I'm calling you. There's a persecution and a suffering coming. We're outside of the camp. We're not going to be accepted by the world. And he was calling them and giving them an admonition and an encouragement to know that to be outside, to be rejected, and to be reviled by the world is good. He said, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. He's just shown them that foods and observations of sacrifices are gone and passed away. The only true sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ, is done and completed. And he said, the only sacrifice as a believer in Jesus Christ you are to give are the praises of your lips, the adoration of your lips, your worship, your service to Him. It's from the heart with your lips. That's the sacrifice we give. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ accepts. And then He says, but do not forget to do good and to share with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. And now those that are here, those ministers, those teachers that are teaching you, not the ones that have passed away that you've learned from their example and learned from their life, those now under you, and only those who care for your souls, not the charlatans, not the wolves in sheep's clothing, not those exploiters, not those false prophets, but people who genuinely care for your soul, and those alone are the ones that have the right to be, you have, that can demand the submission as they would to the Lord Jesus Christ, His teachings. Those are the only people we submit to. Those are the only people that instruct us. He's saying those people that are now over you, submit to their authority. I am going to work through them. Don't forsake it. And then He goes on further. He said, pray for us. We are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. But I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you sooner. Now, may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of His everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, according working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He is telling us, here's what I am doing. I am putting you, subjecting you, and exposing you to all of these things. And I am with you. I never have and I never will forsake you. In the darkest hours of your life, when a spouse is holding their husband or their wife's hand and they're bidding them bye as they take their last breath in a hospital room, the Lord Jesus Christ is there. When you put one of your children in the grave, the Lord Jesus Christ is there. When you're told you have an illness and there's so much you wanted to do in your life and people you thought depended on you, the Lord Jesus Christ is there. When that husband has been unfaithful to you or that wife and they have left you and broken their marriage vows and departed, the Lord Jesus Christ has never forsaken you. He cares about everything. He cares about the details. And He says, don't fear of men. I'm here. I'm with you. And I am perfecting you. And how we give Him glory and we live for Him during that time, we're talking about eternal rewards and blessings. So on that day of judgment, when we're glorified in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can look at Him and praise Him and say, thank you for that. But I challenge you, there's something else we do right now when we're going through it. Let's thank Him for everything He's doing in our life. The book of James said, give thanks. Trials, tribulations, suffering, give thanks. This is a time to grow, a time to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I think one of the most moving things when I was trying to work on this is I thought, you know, Lord, you won't forsake me, but I know my heart. There's not a moment, there's not a day, there's not an hour, there's not a time in my life where I don't forsake you. Not that I'm rejecting Him, but just not being vigilant, not being diligent, not taking great care to serve Him faithfully, not being on guard to say, what could I do to not sin? What must I do to serve You faithfully and to be intense, to ask the Holy Spirit to look at my life and look at my interactions with other Christians and show me how to live? And I fail, and I fail, and I fail, and I fail. That which I would do, I don't do. That which I would not do, I do. And I'm frustrated. Every day I'm frustrated. Every moment. I know better. Lord, I fail. I fail as a husband, as a father, as an elder, as a worker, as an employer, as an employee. As a member of this government, as a member of this society, there's so many opportunities I've had, and You've said, don't forsake, just as I don't forsake, don't forsake. Be diligent. Pay attention to details. Be cognizant of what's going on around you. See how you can live as a Christian to be the salt of the earth, to be a light. And He's faithful, and He forgives us time and time again. And that's what we go through every day. And there's nobody here. There's nobody here who doesn't go through that cycle. Some of us have greater struggles than others. But I want to encourage you. The Lord Jesus Christ said he's doing all these things to complete and to do every good work, working in you what is his will, well-pleasing. Because you know what's going to happen? There's a day, it may be tomorrow for you, it may be tonight for me, it may be a year from now, but there'll be a day where we draw our last breath if the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't come. And we're going to be ushered into the presence of our Lord and Savior, who's going to call us and introduce us. The captain of our salvation shall call us by name and he shall introduce us. And for the first time in your life, you will not be able to forsake him. I will fail no more. I'll have a fellowship that's not interrupted by sin and selfishness and covetousness and shortcomings with the one that I admire and love the most, who I always want to impress, and I fail so badly, where I will be in his presence and I will no longer fail. And I will have a fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ that I can't even understand now. Because for once, I'm faithful. For once, I don't fail. And I will be in the presence of the one who never, during all of my sin, all of my shortcomings, never once did he forsake me. Because that's what glorification is. When we're with the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be glorified and we will never forsake him. We will never fail him because he's completed us. And the Lord Jesus Christ is asking us to do this. Look what I've done. I will never forsake you. Strive. Serve me. Don't forsake your brethren. If you do it unto the least of one of these, your brethren, you do it unto me. Don't forsake the doctrine. Don't forsake your marriage. Be diligent. Pay attention to details. That's what I do. Pay attention to things. Pay attention to your life. Be sorrowful when you fall. Because someday, we're going to join him. And there will be no more sorrow. And our tears will be wiped away from our eyes. And we can join and give his praises without sin in our heart, thinking of ourselves. We can join and sing and exalt him without thinking of what do I get out of it. We can exalt him without desiring more than he would desire for us. We have everything in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Savior, we thank you for your mercies. We thank you that you're faithful. We thank you you're faithful to us when we're not faithful. That you will not let any man at any time, anyone, snatch us from the Father's hand, and we will not be snatched from the Son's hand. You are faithful in all things. Father, we're called to be faithful. We strive. We ask for your Spirit to help us in every day to strive and follow you. And when we fail, we acknowledge that failure. And Father, we look forward to the time when there will be no more failure, there'll be no more sin, that we will be with you in perfect glory and give you all praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.